episode 348. 7-3. No, we didn't score a touchdown. 7 points, no touchdown. Torrey Taylor, MVP of the year, probably. Defense looks stellar. A lot of great efforts on that side of the ball. Offense? Haven't seen them. We'll talk about it. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Back to episode 348 of this podcast. The Hawks suck, and I don't want to be here. Kluwer, what do you got?
Well, that's it, huh? Drizzy, come on now.
Dude, I told you I didn't want to do this shit for another fucking year. I don't want to do this shit for another fucking year.
So is this it? Are you going to really sign off if the Hawks they can't pull it together offensively?
They've got one more week.
You're going to leave Kevin and I high and dry, legit.
They have one more week.
What do they have to do next week to keep you around, Drake?
I don't know, but 5-for-13 for 41 yards and an interception and 0 points is not going to cut it. That was when I signed off of the game.
5-for-13. I don't even know if he finished that good. About the same for the game. 11-for-25, I believe, is what he ended. Welcome in, everyone. Welcome in, Kevin. You know what? Just for a little mood booster.
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Good to see Kev back out there. I wish we had a Drake soundbite. Obviously, I've been here for every episode, but maybe Drake will not be. You know, maybe Kevin and I will be officially sailing off into the distance by ourselves. We'll see if that happens or not. Drake hanging in the balance, but welcome into the episode 348. The Iowa season has kicked off. Iowa football is 1-0. Hey, 1-0.
Hey, let's go Hawks.
When the Instagram account posted, we won, I wanted to respond, no, you didn't.
I mean, they did.
That ain't no fucking win I want to be a part of.
I mean, ugly win's better than a pretty loss, right?
That didn't feel like a win.
It didn't feel like a win. Talked to a couple of the players after the game. As a lot of the Walk-On Army knows, anyone who follows me on Twitter or happens to tag along with the radio stuff that I do, I am doing a post-game show again for the second year on WMT 600, which is a Cedar Rapids station, or KXIC. Which is the 800 station. You can catch both of those on the iHeartRadio app as well. If you download that, you can listen to us in China if you wanted to. So I come on after Dolph. And we are doing that from Hudson's, just 100 or so yards away, a football field away from the old stomping grounds of Iowa City, where Kevin and Drake and myself slept every night at the old Benton Street house, Hudson's South Side Tap. Great little spot in there. And Johnny Plev rolled in there with his fam, his parents. One of the young linebackers from Urbandale, Jaden Harrell was in there after the game. And as was the long snapper, Luke Elkin, who's laying
there. They're tackling you.
Guys laying the fucking wood out there, my guy.
Better tackler than you.
Don't know if that's true.
It's true.
But what is true is he got an opportunity that I foamed at the mouth for 4 years.
Better tackler than you.
I said on the radio that it was because I was already down there that people were throwing up the hand in the face. The South Dakota State guy decided not to. And that brings us... Kevin and Drake don't even know about this. That brings us to the Tyler Kluwer decided upon special teams play of the game by count the kicks this year.
If you choose
the long snapper getting a tackle, I'll be very upset with you.
Long snapper gets it this week. Torrey's going to do that every game this year. We don't get to
No.
Yep.
Good play by the long snapper. You cannot tell me that is a better play than putting the ball on the 1 yard line that subsequently turns into the game winning safety.
How often have you seen Torrey Taylor do that?
I mean, it doesn't make it any less good this time. I don't give a shit. It's still the best play of the game.
Best play of the game. Kluver, you're wrong.
My podcast, play of the game, long snapper tackle by Luke Elkin.
Can we get our 66% to vote for the down on the 1 yard line here, Drake?
Yeah. I mean, Kluver's an idiot. We've known.
Congratulations.
I mean, I don't care if Torrey Terry wins it every week. If he has the best play every week, he deserves it every week. It's like, I don't care if they keep giving Nick Saban coach of the year if he keeps winning national championships every year.
Facts are facts.
Facts are facts. And the fact is that I make the decisions on this show, and the long snapper gets the play of the week for this week.
I mean, there's a heavy asterisk next to that.
Super heavy asterisk.
If I
get the fact that you're just making decisions.
The fact that this podcast happened.
This is a fraudulent and rigged election.
Good. Then nothing's changed. This country has seen it before, and it'll see it again. Because Luke Elkin is never going to get an opportunity like that in his life, probably. Torrey's going to get to put four more on the 1 yard line next week. And so Luke Elkin gets the count the kicks play of the game. Count the kicks, by the way, which is relevant to myself and my wife as we quickly approach the third trimester of the pregnancy.
I hope you make better decision making. I hope you're better at decision making as a father than you are as a fucking special teams play of the game decision maker.
Good joke. Anyway, the Count the Kicks organization is a charity initiative based on helping mothers in the third trimester prevent stillbirths. It's a very simple thing. They have an app. You can download it. You can visit countthekicks.org. You can visit Torrey Taylor's, who will probably win this award, chosen on by me and not Drake and Kevin, in successive weeks. Countthekicks.org. It is something that Torrey has attached his name to. Keith Duncan attached his name to it as well. If you'd like to check that out, go ahead. I talked about them and Keith's event earlier on in the summer.
Funny you mentioned Keith. This is the biggest rob job since his robbery.
I don't know. That's SEC home cooking. That's pretty bad. Boys, Kev, you went into the game, right?
Oh yeah. I was in Kinnick. Yeah. It was great to be back.
It was great to be
back. Was it though?
It was the least amount of fun I've ever had watching the Hawkeyes win in Kinnick.
It is also the least amount of fun I've ever had watching the Hawkeyes, period.
Oh no.
No.
Outside of the program or including when we played?
Outside of the program.
Okay. Maybe I'd have to think. Well, Michigan was pretty bad last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I at least got to watch it at the Big Ten title game.
That's true. You were in.
Got to make some money off that. Dude, we watched the first game of the year with all the anticipation go exactly how we did not want it to go.
That is facts. Those are facts.
We got shown our worst nightmare week one. We just open up the season and find out that we do not have a single playmaker on the offensive side of the ball.
That's not true. Arlen's a playmaker.
Okay.
I think Laporta, if you get him the goddamn ball, is a playmaker. I would probably throw in the second string tight end Lachey with that as well. I think that Keegan has proved he's a playmaker, although he wasn't available. And I think Nico's a playmaker. Guy
not available.
Not available.
Best ability is availability.
Hell of a quote. That's a nice little quote. And that was an issue. That
I don't think I saw a running back break a tackle yesterday. Talk about earning your scholarship as a running back.
LeSean,
you got to make shit happen when shit's muddy.
LeSean broke one that didn't really matter, but we were banged up more than we even thought we were. That more than they let on, right? The first couple things that I saw on Twitter were. For some reason, and I don't know why this is, I think it's because we yelled at the fans 2 or 3 years ago when Stanley threw a pick at Penn State or whatever, and people got pissed and started, you know, they just automatically identified us as homers for life, and we just won't criticize the team, right? I got several tweets, as you can imagine, asking for the walk-ons to not hold back this week. You guys can't hold back. Don't sugarcoat it. I don't want to hear you sucking Brian's ass. I don't want to hear you backing up Spencer Petras. You can't sugarcoat it.
Can't do that anymore.
I'd like to say that we really haven't intentionally done that in the past. Maybe our actual, real, truthful opinions have sided with a side that you didn't necessarily think was the case. I have nothing to sugarcoat this week.
I also have nothing to sugarcoat this week.
I wish that I did have a sugar cookie in front of me from Crumble, or maybe Cookies and Dreams, that had a little nice sugar on it to make this episode a little sweeter, but I don't.
Boys, we scored zero touchdowns against South Dakota State.
We weren't even close to scoring a touchdown.
We weren't even close. Did we see the red zone one time?
We fumbled on the five-yard line.
I missed that part of the game because I had already turned it off.
We fumbled on the
five. It was in the third quarter.
LeSean.
We were going in. It was actually like the only decent drive of the day. There was like a 50-yard drive they had going. It was after they hit, you know what it was? We hit Arlen Bruce for a long first down conversion. It was like third and mile.
Third and
they tacked on a pretty suspect targeting call after that.
I don't agree with that call.
I don't agree with it whatsoever either. And that got us to like the 20-yard line. We ran a couple more plays. We got down inside the 10, and then we fumbled.
And it was a weird, it wasn't like, it was sort of a weird fumble. It was more of a snatch. The ball never touched the ground, I don't think.
Yeah, he got stripped. Yeah.
He got stripped and it just like straight taken from him, which maybe makes it worse. Call that a rookie mistake. Guy's young, but nonetheless, no excuses. You can't have it.
When you got Phil Parker on the other side of the ball, you know the fire is going to get put out. So what does it matter, right? We don't need to show up to camp and even try because we just got Phil and his defense. So we're just going to rely on them to get two safeties, 4 points. We'll score three, and yeah, that should take care of it, right? 3 points, that'll get it done, Phil.
And, I mean, so missed the first field goal after like a 20-yard drive is all they had for it. No, we got the ball on the 30 after the shanked punt. And then that drive went nowhere. We missed a 40-yard field goal.
Which I alluded to earlier in the week.
Yeah. We had a short-ass field again. Like, got maybe one or two first downs, and then we got a field goal. Like, there was no sustained drives whatsoever put together. I mean, we had 10 first downs the whole damn game.
We had as many first downs as punts.
It's bad, man. I don't know what to say. It was just really bad offensive football.
Bad. I want to give you our starting, because this is maybe one of the most embarrassing stats I've ever seen. Our starting field position was, I mean, you couldn't fucking dream of a better starting field position.
I think we beat North Texas like 59-3 with this field position.
I bet we didn't even have that good of field possession. So North Dakota State's first drive was 3 plays minus 2 yards. They punt it to us. We've got it on the, that guy shit his pants too on the first
big punt. Time, big time.
Poor guy walked off the field like this. God, I felt so bad for him. We have it on the South Dakota State 27. First and 10 to start the drive, guys.
So that's the second drive. So we received the opening kickoff.
Right. We received the opening kickoff and we're on our 20.
Get one first down punt. Torrey hits a nuke. An absolute piss missle. And we get the ball on the 27-yard line. Don't do what we got to find out the actual starting field position, because that is how we won the game.
Oh yeah. Well, and we've talked about it, right? Kev, you did a really good breakdown last year of how between the defense allowing so little yardage and making teams punt pretty close to where they start a drive.
Mm-hmm.
And Torrey initiating that drive with balls that are within the 15, within the 10, within the 5-yard line. our defense and Torrey are literally giving us
a couple first downs.
Yeah, hidden first downs. And across the game, they might give us 80, 100, over 100 yards, right? 166 yards of all.
I mean, if you take the average or like the baseline, you start at the 25 yard line. You calculate your starting field position, average starting field position times the amount of drives you had.
Yep.
We definitely had more of a field position yardage than we did have actual yardage, if that makes any sense.
Correct. Which is extremely hard to do.
It's nuts. Yeah. So like, imagine like your average starting field position is at your own 40 and you have 10 drives, you know, that's extra 15 yards times 10 drives. That's 150 yards of like hidden field position that you've gained. I'd bet it was better than that yesterday.
I'll bet it's significantly better than that.
I would guess so as well. After starting at their 27 yard line, we miss a field goal. I said earlier in the week on Twitter, when they said that this thing would play out over the next couple weeks, that wasn't a good thing. And I had a couple people push back on me who said, whoa, whoa, whoa. They did great during the kids' day in camp. Maybe that means we just got two guys that are really good. And I said, well, if we had two guys that are really good, you'd be hearing stuff like you heard when we had Keith and Shudak and coach was saying we had a good problem, right? And it didn't matter. When you have two guys that are really good, then you can name a definitive starter because you're confident in whoever you're naming. We run Aaron Blom out. He's a great kid. I met him this summer. Awesome dude, just like probably 99% of the guys on that team. There's 70,000 in the crowd now. Your butthole's a little tighter. Shit matters. There's fans in the stands back there behind the field goal. There's guys coming to block the fucker. Miss. That's not how we want to start the season, boys.
The second field goal from, what was it, 45-ish? Looked like it barely made it across.
46-yarder.
Yeah. Didn't look like we had a whole lot of room to spare there.
Either. Limped in. Now, I know he's got a bigger leg than that, but that immediately says, okay, you know he has a bigger leg and it barely limped over. What's he doing? Is he pulling back? He's a little scared now. Probably a little puckered after missing one and having to run back out there, especially when you watch your offense do what they're doing each drive. You're like, holy shit, we might not score points this game.
The thing about last year is like, yeah, we had an offense that struggled at times, especially in the red zone last year, but we didn't miss a whole lot of our points opportunities on field goals. Yes. So like, especially if you have an offense that's struggling, those points are at a premium now. We cannot afford to miss those field goals.
And I can't overstate how spoiled we've been since basically Miguel Racinos.
I'd even argue Marshall's senior year.
Go all the way back to Marshall's senior year in 2015. And basically field goal kicking for the last 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. For 7 years, we really haven't had to work. They've missed a few kicks. Shudak, most notably in the Big Ten Championship last year, a one that he should have made. But for the most part, we have been spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And we have needed a lot of those points. And we need them more than ever this year. At least it looks that way. And so that's going to be a point of emphasis. Let me pop in here real quick. And how would you guys, don't fast forward me. How would you guys like ad-free episodes? Have I got your attention? Ad-free episodes. Several of you have reached out to me lately. Hey, there's too many ads on your show. Let me put it to you simply real quick. We aren't, you know, like all these other guys, the beat writers who have these podcasts and that's an extension of their work. That's an extension of them writing their articles, them being employed by the Des Moines Register or the Gazette or the Iowa City Citizen or whatever that is called or the Athletic, right? They have jobs paying them salaries. They make money. So they don't have ads on their podcast for a reason. I understand that we're going out to a lot of people here on the airwaves. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But this is a different operation around here. This is how we make money. This is how we build funds for the children at the end of the year. So if you don't like the ads, here's two options. you skip ahead, right? You skip ahead. That's real hard. Push the plus 30 seconds button a couple times. Or join the Patreon. Sign up for $4, $8, or $12 a month. Actually, you got to sign up for the $8 or $12 level to get past the ads. And then you can listen ad-free all season long for as long as you want, and you won't hear any of this. There's a separate file uploaded on Patreon and on a completely different feed that loads right into your podcast app. You never have to hear another advertisement from us again. How does that sound? You also get to support the kids and get discounts on a lot of cool merchandise. It's completely worth it. Did I mention there's an extra episode each week and potential other opportunities that come with the Patreon? Just an idea. But for those who don't do that, here's an advertisement. We're sponsored by DRF Sports. The boys at DRF are doing it all season long. If you didn't notice, you can sign up right now at ia.drf.com with the code RADIO300, no fret bet. Use that right now. You can also just sign up and they'll give you a $40. I can't remember what my brother just did, but it's literally no risk. 40 bucks. Lay it down on something, win some green. Right? You're also going to start seeing every single week the walk-on boosted bet of the week. Purdue almost did it for us. Charlie Jones, I was like, hey, go ball out for the Boilermakers. Show us something. And Purdue almost did it. It's going to be a washed-up walk-ons boosted bet of the week on DRF Sports, specifically picked by us to do well, and you have a chance to get boosted odds and make even more money. Shout out to DRF Sports for being the best on earth and Iowa's sportsbook. Go right now, ia.drf.com. We are also sponsored by and so happy to have these guys back on board for the season. AdCraft, many of you who have been longtime walk-on Army members, or maybe you found us this season, just got to experience what a limited-time store looks like for us. It's very similar to a lot of the high school fundraising they do for, say, a varsity football team or a volleyball team, selling t-shirts to build funds for the program. Well, we're trying to build funds for our program too. Our main initiative is to help the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We're looking to give back over $20,000 this year. And a big part of that is the money that we make on our merchandise. 50%, in fact, a little bit more than that, of our proceeds goes straight to the kids during Christmas. Gifts, I believe it's called the Children's Child Life Fund at UI Children's. It's an incredible thing, and we give back a ton of money to make sure those kids in the hospital are, you know, as settled as they can be. And AdCraft has helped us so much create awesome merchandise. They manage our store. They gave us a storefront. They stock our items with inventory. I'm in constant communication with them. We're selling the Hawks by a million. We're selling the walk-on stuff, the tight end U, and we got a ton of stuff coming down the pipe. We'll have a Christmas store this year. All of that ends up going back to the children as well. So appreciative for them and what they've been able to help us do. They're a great partner for us, and we're absolutely stoked to have them back on. AdCraftWebStores.com for your custom merch solutions. They can help you create any custom t-shirt or uniform that you need, and we're glad to have them as somebody that we can trust. Now, let's get back to the show. Where do we go from here? As we know,
we need a combat medic with some morphine syringes, dude. Hit these dudes with some gas. Get them going.
I think morphine puts people to sleep. You need some adrenaline. You need some...
True. We need...
Yeah, but the morphine feels so good.
Okay. And
I don't think that's going to help. I don't think we need these guys to feel good. I think.
By the way, for anyone who questions Drake's sanity or his mental capacity, the guy got a CT scan and it came back clean. Now, did he pay off his doctor and his entire medical team? I think so. But we're never going to know because he actually has results. And if you're a part of our Patreon, you can see...
You've read them.
You can see in the Discord with the doctor sign-off that this guy evidently has clean gray matter. And I don't believe it. But evidently it's true. People know that I sat here a little over two years ago as Spencer Petras was about to take reins of the offense in the COVID year.
What'd you say, Kluver? What'd you say about him?
And I said, I think Spencer's got a chance to be that guy. I think he's got a chance to be a dog.
Now, after about 25 starts, we have a reasonable amount of evidence compiled. What do you think the verdict is on this
20. Well, I guess Padilla played some last year, take two or three off. So we're looking at 20 starts under Spencer's belt. And he simply, and this is even if you're being the most generous you can be to him after Saturday and just say, oh, he had a, you know, it's first game of the year. It's a little rusty, right? He simply hasn't progressed.
I'd argue he's even regressed, dude.
I would argue he's regressed significantly, man. It's 3rd and 3, and your tight end is 6'5", 250-something pounds, and open by a step, and you can't hit a 3-yard out to continue the drive. I mean, this is absolute routes on air shit.
I think it's most confusing to fans, to us, maybe to Spencer, even, that he can do stuff like the highlight you saw at the Manning passing camp where he threw a 100-yard bomb to a guy deep. Even the little nuggets that he finds during a game, right? He threw one in a window, a tight window to Arlen Bruce. That was a big-time pass, a big-time play for a quarterback. And the dichotomy, the other side of what Spencer puts out there is he can't hit a check down. He overthrows a guy, and granted, a sideline throw is a long throw. It's much longer than it, you know, if you're throwing a 5 or 6 yard sideline throw, it's actually like a 20-yard pass, right?
But he's still at 30, but yeah,
probably.
We currently can't even trust him to complete a screen pass, like to just take two extra steps and get a screen pass off successfully.
And so for me at this point, and this is something that we argued last year when the Padilla, one of the callers on the radio called him Padilla, by the way.
Quesadilla Padilla.
Oh, Alex Quesa Padilla, Steak Padilla. At this point, it's not about who's the better quarterback if all other things are perfect, right? If we had the 2016 Joe Moore Award offensive line in front of these guys, and we had Sean Green, and we had, you know, Marvin McNutt and Keegan out there on the sides, and everything else was perfect. It's not about who can play when it's nice and tight, because our offense just isn't going to be nice and tight this year, right? We're going to get to the offensive line here in a second.
Well, we're going to get there, because this is not even like a FCS championship team, right? It's like a FCS quarterfinals, FCS semifinals type of team. That's the type of team that our offensive line just got absolutely murked by.
But at this point, it's about with what we're able to give our quarterback, whoever the guy is standing back there catching the ball or receiving it under center, which could use some work from my observation. It's about what we can do in the 2.5 or 3 seconds that we have. And I watched, I don't know if you guys saw the play from the Florida kid last night versus Utah.
Unbelievable play.
He pumps the guy, gets the defender in the air, who still kind of grabs onto him. He spins out of it. There's another defender that's right there. He runs out from him, finds a guy wide open in the end zone.
Awesome play.
He creates a play. Very Johnny Manziel kind of play. Right? And I saw some tweet or Instagram by Johnny that like Netflix is doing a documentary on him. I can't wait to watch it. Spencer can't do that. He doesn't even try to do that.
I mean, but should he even try to do that? I mean,
I don't think so, because he can't.
He pulled one down and it was like on a 3rd and 6.
It looked like Peyton Manning running.
Bro, yeah, it just did not. He's not an athlete, man.
And I love Spencer. In fact, the way that Spencer approaches the media and the way he talks in interviews and about his players and about his teammates and his coaches.
Yeah. All-time teammate.
What a teammate.
Yeah.
And boy, hard pressed to find a guy in the Iowa football program that's taken more shit than this guy in the last 3 years. I mean, this guy can take some shit. He can't play quarterback at the Division I level. That's satisfactory. It's just proven. 20 starts. It's proven. I don't know if Padilla can either, is the issue.
I mean, our sample size on Padilla last year was
2.5 games.
I didn't see it any significantly better than Petras. And, you know, we went into an open quarterback competition this offseason, and Petras comes out the clear winner. I mean, it's just like, what do we have
in the backup, man.
Here, and this was the question is I think people are, this was interesting yesterday. I think people are actually starting to trust the coaches a little bit, at least a few. And they're saying, okay, if we haven't pulled Petras now, and Coach Ferentz's comments after the games were, we don't plan on, at least right now, we don't plan on a quarterback change going into week two. Well, if that's the case, KF, how fucking bad does Alex look in practice? Because
how bad have we been recruiting quarterbacks? I mean, at the end of the day, I know it's the kid's decision to go to one school versus the other. And there's no,
I mean,
go ahead, Kev.
Petras was a high recruit. He's a highly recruited quarterback.
I don't know how much it is recruiting, how much it is developing. At this point, Padilla can run a little bit. He's not Brad Banks, but he can run a little bit. Do we have to put him in there?
Dude, I think we need to start running the Wildcat, dude.
Or
call up Cadillac Williams and ask him what the secret was and start having – actually, I forgot that we have options D, E, and F as our playmakers. So we're having trouble.
Who's
going to have trouble putting together a Wildcat offense?
I'm not kidding when I say this. I am not kidding when I say this. Cooper DeJean
needs to play both ways.
Was a stud. I sound like a lunatic if someone clipped this right now, and somebody might. I might clip it myself and put it on the Walk-Ons channel as the clip from this episode.
This would create a lot of traffic. Let's do some numbies.
If they decided, and I don't even know if they can afford, well, they can definitely afford to do this because we're going to get to our defense as well. We're not going to just completely talk about the shitty stuff here. Cooper was playing multiple positions on defense and returning kicks and playing special teams. Kid is an absolute Swiss Army knife dog. When Coach Wallace talks about we need some fucking dogs around here, he's got one.
They all exist on the defensive side of the ball, dude.
I know. If you go watch Cooper DeJean's highlights from high school, I know he's playing kids that are now farming out in the middle of Iowa in the middle of nowhere. But if you go watch that kid and what he did 1-on-11, we might be better suited on short notice to put in a Wildcat offense with Cooper and the LaShawn Williams and Caleb Johnson, a three-man backfield, and just say, hey, see what you can do. I'm not joking. Am I off my rocker here, Kevin? Would that be that detrimental?
I just told us to call up Cadillac Williams, so I think we're on the same page here.
I mean, boys, the CyHawk trophy is in fucking jeopardy.
It's in danger. They have a first-round, first-team All-American type defensive end, and we just got mollywopped by an FCS defensive line.
Say something, Kevin. I'm distraught.
To your point on just changing up the offense,
I know you can't do it, but almost
you can't do it, but it can't get much worse than what the offense put out there.
You know,
we're already not making first downs. Why not try to not make first downs in a unique manner?
Because Drake, it takes more than a day to put in a whole new offense.
It does. It really does, man. It's really hard to call plays when you don't have faith in anybody that are going to be executing the plays.
And here's the other thing about that. I mean, kudos to you guys for being creative.
We're trying here, Kevin. We're trying.
The glaring hole we haven't talked about yet today is, yeah, Spencer did not play well. He missed some open throws.
Yep.
We ran the ball for 1.6 yards a carry yesterday.
Dude, it's bad.
So okay. I don't know if going to a just straight running Wildcat offense is solving any problems. Man, there's no pivot, right? So like say you have like a strong passing game and a weak running game. You can't just pivot to the passing game.
Right.
There's nothing to pivot to. There's not one thing that we did well on offense except lack of penalties, I guess.
You're hitting the nail on the head here, Kev.
The offensive line was poor in pass protection. I mean, Spencer missed open throws even when he had time, but he was under duress again. The run game got no push. Guys were swinging and missing.
We got bullied.
Yeah, they got Boyd on the offensive line.
Since when are we saying that about Iowa, University of Iowa offensive lines? Walking out on the field and getting bullied by dudes who didn't get recruited to play on their team.
Yeah, it's not good. And I will, on top of that, man.
Yeah, go.
I was going to say, Kluver, you alluded to it earlier. The quarterback
bad
center exchange was off.
Dude.
All game.
Dude.
All game. So like, the snaps were high.
Yep. On the shotgun.
For most of them, he gets a Spencer gets a normal one at his hips, and then he wasn't ready for it at his hips, I guess, yep. And misses it. And then even after, like, I'm pretty sure the snaps were always late too, because the rest of the offensive line is going before the ball is snapped. They're should have gotten called for about five offensive false starts, because the ball is just not getting snapped on cue. That throws off the timing for everything.
I was – so the
screen pass that you were talking about, Clue, Drake, was completely messed up by the timing of the quarterback center exchange.
Yep,
and I agree, but there's still an element to the game of football where you just have to improvise. Just take an extra step back, put a little extra arc on the football. Just, like, make a little something happen so that you can cover up one mistake. It's crazy. We can't cover up a single mistake.
I mean, but there's – so many mistakes out there that you plug one, there's just another hole that's filling the ship with water, dude.
I definitely agree with
nothing.
That.
Yeah.
There's no single fix to this offense right now. Putting a different quarterback in doesn't fix it.
Yeah. And that's
changing
what I
try- new offense doesn't. I don't know if we have just a lack of talent.
We have the lack of the Jimmys and the Joes, man.
No, but that's the problem.
Even on the receiver side of things, when they were going up against man coverage, they were getting no separation.
Yeah.
I know we're banged up, but it's just not a single thing I can point to that we did well in offense.
Is there glaring lack of speed on our offense? Just speed in general? Because it looks like our offense is playing slow.
I mean, we got a couple guys that can scoot. Like we got Arlen Bruce on one end around, and that ended up being a positive play. But dude, it's just I as someone who's played football at a pretty high level, watched football like pretty intensely since I was about 6 years old. I, as a coach, if you put me on this offensive staff right now, I'd be like, coach, I don't know what to do right now.
I thought about this yesterday. I thought, you know what? Brian is currently out there and he's thinking to himself, yeah, I don't want to fucking be here. Nobody wants me here.
I'll tell you what,
including
dude,
me.
Brian looked damn good on the sideline, though. He always had a smile on his face when Spencer was coming off. Always looked positive when he was sharing the notes with Spencer.
Sure.
Everything. Like, the guy is not – he's not losing his fucking mind over it, though I am.
And he's similar to Spencer. Spencer and Brian, maybe over the last 2 years, have faced more adversity and just – they have learned to eat shit like it's their job, three meals a day plus dinner, plus snack. You know, like – Kev, okay, where am I going with this? Drake, you asked about speed. I think that we don't have, I don't know if you guys caught the North Carolina Appalachian State score. It looked like a basketball
crazy game.
Our game looked like a baseball game. Their game looked like a basketball game, 66-63 or something like
Holy
that.
Holy smokes.
They've got speed all over the place. All they do is throw it. Nobody plays defense. It's fucking nuts, right? We don't have guys or an offense or personnel like that, right? But I think that if healthy, right, because we're missing our number one back yesterday. Gavin is the true number one from Southeast Polk. Well, I think he's from Southeast Polk. I think Dowling stole him or whatever. But Gavin Williams and LaShawn Williams, I think, are going to be okay. Dolph talked about the Caleb Johnson kid who got in a couple times. When he gets his feet wet, you know, he wets the beak a little bit. He's going to be fine. But we're missing Gavin, right? We're missing two of our better receivers, Nico, some of the most experienced on our team, Keegan, who's arguably our number one skill guy. So we're missing three guys there of our talent, right? We were missing two of our offensive linemen from an offensive line that we were already unsure about, right? I've got it pulled up right here. Our starters listed on the depth chart were Mason Richmond, who played a lot last year. That's left. This is left to right. Tyler Ellsbury, he was out yesterday. Logan Jones, brand new center who was brought over from the defense. Connor Colby, who's sort of a dog. Like if he's our one guy, he's pretty good. Played a lot last year as a freshman. And Jack Plum. Well, Tyler Ellsbury was out yesterday, and so was Jack Plum. And so we had to bring in our backup right guard to Colby and put him at left guard for Tyler Ellsbury. And then Plum was out at right tackle, so we had to bring in Nick DeYoung, who got a little bit of experience last year, and put him back at right tackle. I guess he backs up Plum there. So we're playing 3 out of 5. We looked, Kev, it's the funniest call. It's the funniest flag on the field. Offsides, everybody but the center. That's what should have been called on us 6 times yesterday, at least.
Yeah.
And it was almost like Logan Jones, who I think is going to be really good after the snap, if he can figure that out. He's kind of a mean sumbitch kind of type. He was like delaying it. He wasn't giving Spencer the ball. Almost a couple times you could see Spencer waiting, like trying to pull away, and he doesn't have the ball in his hands. I don't think this is on Spencer, because if you go back to last year, him and Lindy were doing just fine.
No, it's 100% on the center. Okay.
So something that you'd really, I mean, the fucking, excuse the language, even though I've said that word 40 times this podcast and every other podcast, the center exchange, something you hope you get dialed in before camp.
Something you get dialed when Pop Warner football.
It's not even tuned up. And it's affecting the entire offense. I mean, you've got factors that are playing into the variables now that you hope are far and away locked up and on the shelf and taken care of. And so that makes it exponentially harder for a very average talent 11 guys to go and make plays if you're already out of sync. I mean, the line, I remember watching our O-lines move. It was like a work of art. They were like a wave, right? They would all move as one, and they would just clear gaps and open holes. I didn't see it once yesterday. I didn't see it. And I'm not saying that Spencer's the guy. You clearly heard me say that he's proven that through 20 games, he can't get it done at a satisfactory, even a below average Division I level. But I'll tell you this, he's not getting any help. And so that's why calling for Padilla or Labus, or if we could get fucking Deuce Hogan to come back as a walk-on third stringer at Kentucky, that worked out for you, didn't it, Deucey? To come back and be our quarterback, I don't think it matters. Put Kevin Ward back there, for gosh sakes. I mean, come on.
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Peck repair and all, can't even throw the football.
166 yards? Team stats.
4 for 17 on third down. That is below 25%. That is atrocious on third down.
I don't know what else to say.
0 and 2 in turnovers, too. I mean, if you told me that we had 166 total yards, ran the ball for 1.6 a carry, and lost a turnover battle 2-0, I was like, how badly did we lose?
Find me another game that's ever happened in football history, not just Iowa history, football history, where the team with those stats comes out on top.
And that's just because we absolutely dominated in the other two phases of the game. So let's stop talking about our atrocious offense performances.
Yep, we're done. Well, we're not
done. Let's hope it improves next week, because that's all we can do on the outside here.
I will come back to a final thought on them at the end, but let's get to some good stuff.
Let's get into what we did well. All right, I'm done, because I think Drake is asphyxiating himself in his room right now.
I hope there's not a rope in there. our defense, and again, let's maybe pump the brakes on this as well, but we kind of know what we're working with, and they, you know, we went for 166. South Dakota State went for 120. I mean,
right.
Come on now.
1.1 yard a carry. I mean, that's just...
And we were 4 for 17. They were only 3 for 16. I mean, yeah. It's incredible that we were so bad and our defense made their offense look even worse.
I mean, yeah, I was turning around and talking to my dad. It's like, it's fourth quarter. They're on their own 6-yard line down 4. And it was like 4 minutes left in the game. And they're like turning the ball off and running inside zone. I'm like, I mean, I know our offense like kind of sucks, and fans hate our conservative play calling. They have 95 yards to go. They're down
and they're
by 4. Need a touchdown, and they're running inside zone right now.
Yes.
And
they feel like the best security blanket you could ever have.
My dad's like, I don't know. South Dakota State must have took the points on the under. He's just trying to get out of here.
Bro, I think it was like 44.
I think it got all the way down to 40 on the over under.
Well, we score. It was 10.
It was, yeah, hit by a mile.
Yeah, let's talk about the defense. So right away, I mentioned Cooper DeJean. He comes out and he's playing corner. Then he's playing, did he play some cash spots or just?
Yeah, he's playing that cash spot mostly, which I like him at. I think, yeah, really athletic kid. I think he's got a really bright future.
He can kind of do it all at the college level. Like he's good. And he's
definitely see him rotating into a safety role too. Maybe
100%
on graduates. Yeah.
Which is where I want to direct our attention next. Holy shit. Quinn Schulte.
Quinn Schulte, welcome to the Big Ten, man. What a come out party for the walk-on, the former walk-on.
This kid's way better than Jake Gervais.
Wearing the same number is making it, leaving it in a hell of a lot better
place. Even the jersey in a better place than the thumb you tell you one, huh? Come on.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jake Gervais. That motherfucker's still thriving in the league, just getting picked up on the after getting cut. Unbelievable.
Freaking cockroach, man. Can't kill him. But yeah, Quinn Schulte, I huge shout out to him. So the first thing I look for is like, does it ever look like there's any miscommunications on the back end? Cause that's usually the free safety's job is get everyone in the right check, right call, right coverage. Everything looks super crisp on the back end. The guys look like they're communicating well, and he made a couple of hell of a plays and some pass breakups. Like we got a really solid free safety again. So that's one of the positions that we lost in a really, really solid player in Jack Kerner. I don't think it's dropped off at all. Like
what impressed
I don't know, sample size of one, but great game out of Quinn.
What impressed me the most, Kevin, was his timing. He was not too early because it can get a little dicey if you start hitting guys before the ball gets there, but it was just bang, bang, perfect. I mean, in a couple times he laid the absolute wood.
Yeah, he brought the hit stick a little bit too.
And the kid's not huge, right? Like he can hit now. Like,
yeah.
Kid's a football player. So we
physical,
like,
he's a physical, he's an Iowa safety. That's, and we've talked about it before. Like, we've had a lot in his similar mold for the last dozen years or so. Yeah.
They interviewed
him. Be just fine right there in that replacement spot.
They interviewed
other guy who had a really good game on the back end is Terry Roberts, had himself a hell of a game.
So. Yeah. Scary Terry.
Scary Terry, man. We've got some dudes in the back end here, and they're going to be fun to watch. The Doughboys are going to they're gonna shut some people down this year. Didn't really have many opportunities for any turnovers.
They weren't going to let.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they were just trying to run the ball on their own 5-yard line and 4 minutes left to go in the game. So, but we had a lot of pass breakups. I think we only gave it one big play. Overall, a great performance in the back end.
I do want to get your thoughts on the one scary play down the middle over the top. Could you give us any analysis on what happened there?
They didn't show a replay in Kinnick. I haven't got a chance to rewatch the game yet, so I'm not 100% sure what happened there. So I can't give you a great answer on that.
I heard that Kayvon got turned around, like literally all the way around.
Yeah. When you watch the highlight, he almost stumbled bad enough to fall.
So his eyes must have been in the wrong place for a hot second and then realized, oh shit. That'll be something that probably is the one play they like go over and over and over again from this game.
Are you talking about the one they completed or the one
they missed? The one they missed.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. That one. Yeah. I do remember that one. Yeah. Kayvon. So it looked like the guy was going to go take a dig route across the field.
Yeah.
Takes two steps and then turns it upfield. So like, yeah, it got Kayvon kind of
got him to bite.
Dig and got him to bite. Jack Gervais got beat on a very similar route. Iowa State 2017.
Yep.
Yeah. Just lucky for us, they didn't catch that. Cause that might've been the game changer right there.
Might've. We're 0-1, Kev.
Yeah. But no, the one big play they did complete for like 20, 30 yards, something like that. I'm not sure what happened there. If they just found a gap in a zone or what, I have to go rewatch that.
Yeah. So Quinn Schulte, awesome out of him. Terry Roberts, awesome out of him. We'll get to the linebacking core. Jack Campbell dragging a guy for the safety by the pads, like you're dragging your kid out of the restaurant because they're crying and throwing a fit. I mean, big dick Jack Campbell. Come on now.
I mean, what's Coach Ferentz always say? We need our best players playing at their best, right?
Yeah.
Big boy play out of him, meeting the guy at the goal line and making sure you weren't the one getting pushed back.
Yep. Seth Benson played really well. I like how they run him in and out, depending on if it's a sort of a passing situation with the cash.
So I saw this. They switched Seth and Justin this year. So they got Justin playing more inside than Seth. And I think that's probably better. I think they wanted originally to put Jacobs out on the edge because he's got such great length. But I think he's more natural inside than playing outside. And
what was a little scary was he limped off and did not
play. Yeah, that injury looked bad. It looked like his leg got, you know, caught up in the turf. And I don't think we're going to be seeing him versus Iowa State.
Which we don't love.
I don't know. Yeah. He limped off and he came back out in street clothes.
Yep.
So I don't know.
And we were playing, I believe, Mike Tim as his backup, who doubles as Potabomb's doppelganger with the long flowing blonde mullet looking type hairdo. I tried to observe him on his first couple plays. I don't think he's going to be as aggressive purely out of lack of experience in these first couple games. If he's still going to be playing in there, I do think physically he can hold his own. And if he is, I've heard the coaches talk a lot about their young linebackers or their two deep linebackers being very well prepared because of what we went through in spring ball with the injuries to our three starters. So I have full confidence that if that's the guy who's going into backup Justin Jacobs, that he's probably going to be able to get it done. Coach Wallace, Coach Parker, and the boys aren't going to send a troop out there that doesn't have a fully loaded gun. So,
yeah, I'll say this. So I remember very specifically, I remember Mike from my intern year with the strength staff. He was an incoming freshman that summer. And I remember the kid had a motor. He was a guy who was a high effort, high motor guy. He was a walk-on just looking to earn a spot. Seems like he's done pretty well for himself for the past 4.5 years. So, probably not going to be a huge playmaker, but a guy you can put in there and rely on to get the job done.
Not going to be a liability.
Right, exactly.
Other spots, the D-line, you know, we're deep. We're kind of deep, and I love it because they're the unsung heroes. Like, we've got Wagner, Evans, Shannon, Van Ness, Craig. I mean, we got dudes coming off the edge, coming up through the middle. We might not have a Big Ten first teamer on that team. We might not have an All-American on that team, but we got a lot of guys.
We have just a really solid, deep unit.
Yep. And that's what you need at the D-line too. You need to be able to rotate guys in and out there. So, you know, I don't have much more else to say about the defense.
I mean, Coach Parker went home, had himself a smoke and a Coke, and he can hang his hat on a really good defensive day. There's not a whole lot I could say that they could improve on. I mean, they did basically everything that they could do. You know, the one field goal they give up is on a short field after an interception. They give up one first down.
Yep.
And South Dakota State converts on a field goal. I mean, they gave up 16 yards that drive. Okay. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to ask for much more than what the defense gave us yesterday.
Yeah. So let's move to the special teams. I comically sort of let Torrey go under the radar in the beginning of this podcast, but in all honesty, the kid is
the MVP of the game.
The kid,
a true weapon.
Kid was getting a standing ovation after his last punt, even though it was a touchback.
This is
because he just had such that good of a game.
Yeah, this is not hyperbole. If we had a player on our team that had, you know, if you gave odds right on DRF Sportsbook, ia.drf.com, to all of our players, Torrey Taylor has the best odds on our team to win the Heisman this year. That is not hyperbole. He is the front runner of the Iowa team to win any type of MVP award, like after one game, right? His first couple punts were what you would call piss missiles. A few of the other ones, he got out that 56 degree that Dolph was talking about. And he had a few other ones where he hit like a banana side roller that just scooped a little late into the end zone one time. He did hit one bad one and I knew it right off the foot and he knew it and he was pissed. And there's not a whole lot you can actually be mad about because he literally had South Dakota State's heels in their own end zone for damn near every drive that they started. So,
I mean, you could say this, flip the field position game around, we probably lose that game.
Yes.
And, you know, the defense is a big part of that, but Torrey Taylor is huge on that. If one, we don't get those safeties either.
I was going to say, you don't get safeties unless the team has the ball at the 5 yard line or inside that.
Right. I mean, in years past, if we've had a punter that wasn't as good as Torrey Taylor.
Who are you referring to, Kevin?
It's not.
Well,
name any names?
In that sense, basically all the guys since Ryan Donahue.
That is a game that we probably lose.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not good.
Yeah. No, it's not. It really isn't. I mean, the kids should be Big Ten special teams player of the week, no doubt. But to be relying on your punter to win you games is, I mean, I trust the guy with putting anything off his foot, but
here's the deal, right?
That's just not where you want the game to be.
We can
affirmatively decided.
We can do that, right? Like maybe our special teams can do that, right? And maybe our defense can do that to, every team except for Ohio State or Michigan for the entire first half, maybe three quarters. But when your defense goes up against a formidable offense that's better than South Dakota State's was, and they're out there for long enough, frequently enough, because our offense only is out there for three plays, and then, hey, pun alert, they're going to wear down. They're not superhumans. And they're only good, they're only elite, if they're at a certain level of stamina and juice. And if we run that battery dry, and it will happen, they're going to get scored on. And that's going to be probably the offense's fault because we just can't sustain drives long enough to give them a break, to give them a water. You know, like it's literally going to be that bad against teams who are good offensively. We will lose games, right? This is not a 12-0 football team, not even close. I think a lot of Iowa fans, I saw a few polls by media members today on Twitter, and of course it's burned down the entire Kinnick Stadium and just leave Iowa football in the dust. I would say it's probably 75-25, maybe 80-20 from both fan bases that Iowa State wins this ball game on Saturday. Like, I think that's where people are. They're very disheartened right now. And I don't know about being disheartened, but there's definitely nothing to help make you be excited or hopeful.
Defense, special teams.
I mean, if we beat Iowa State on Saturday and we don't see any significant improvements on offense, it's going to be a 10-7 victory.
A 7-3 victory.
A 9-6 victory. Like
two safeties again.
Yes.
I saw one meme and maybe really funny. It's like Iowa beat South Dakota State 73. It's that meme of the one guy standing in the corner. He's like, at least they don't know it was a field goal and two safeties.
I saw the one of the one guy who's just kind of got this like blank look on his face, and then there's the person he's talking to in the meme, and they're like, well, at least he scored one touchdown, right? And then it's just a blank stare. Nothing comes out of the guy's mouth. And the other person goes, you scored a touchdown, right? It's going to get interesting. Can you make a lot of improvement from week one to week two? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I will say this. If you guys think the players are okay with this, again, I talked to several of them. The locker room was a cemetery after that game. Said that the vibe was as if they had lost.
As it should be, honestly. Yeah. So
they know, they feel it, right? They're trying. It's not for a lack of effort. I don't think Petras is going out there and saying, fuck the Iowa fan base. I'm giving 50% and that's why he's playing bad. I want to play one thing real quick and get your guys' thoughts on it. And you guys probably saw it. Let's see if I can get this to go.
The relationships I've built with all those guys, like, I hate to break to you guys, but they're more than football players. Like, they're brothers, their sons, their grandsons. And I feel like a lot of people lose sight of that.
This is Jack Campbell talking, asked about the probably asked somewhere along the lines of if he's frustrated by the offense.
I mean, I just view him as a person, as a relationship, as a friend, as a brother. So I would say that's kind of where that answer came from. And no matter what, like, I'm always going to have their back, and I'm never going to point fingers. I'm never going to complain, because I have the greatest opportunity in the world, because I love football, and I can just go out there and play football every single day. And I can walk, and I can talk, and I can hear, and I can see just things people take for granted. And if we're just going to sit back and point fingers and complain about all this stuff, like, I just think we're just not looking at the right things. We as a three-faced team, we went out there and we gave it our all today, and I'm proud of this. The relationships
I hadn't heard that clip, but it's the exact answer you want from your captain, your leader of the defense, leader of the team.
How could you not go out
of your phase dominated, right? Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, hey, we did our job. Those guys got to improve. That's easy to say. It's hard to be a great teammate and great leader and say, fuck you and everyone else. Those are my teammates. I have their back over anyone else in the goddamn state, in the nation, anyone on TV, radio, newspaper, Twitter, anyone in Kinnick. I'm taking those guys to war against any and all of y'all. Okay.
Including
that's the exact right answer you need out of that guy.
How can you not just be hard dick, fully tented as an offensive or defensive guy into next week? If I'm Jack's team, you can hear his little quiver in his voice too. If you've heard Jack talk before, he's almost emotional about it, defending his offensive teammates. Talk about fully tented. If those guys don't go out there and play for Jack and the rest of that defense with fire after hearing that, and their teammate defend him, I don't know what would get you fired up more for a football game. I mean, that is some A1 class shit out of Jack Campbell right there.
It's big time. It's exactly what you need out of him. I mean, it's easy to throw other people under the bus. It's the easy answer.
Not only is it easy, but everyone would agree with him. No one would give him shit. I mean, even Coach Ferentz would be like, well, you know, we could probably keep it a little cleaner, you know, on the don't speak for your teammates, but I understand the offense is ass right
now. I mean, you do that, and then the locker room just goes to shit. It does. Offense isn't going to go play better because you're calling them out.
Right.
In the media, right?
Right.
Then animosity starts in the locker room. And then it just gets, it's a slippery slope from there. So really proud of Jack for that answer. More so even for the way that he played.
Yeah, absolutely. 12 tackles, absolute phenomenal performance by him. I'm going to answer this question because we got this a couple times too. It was worded on Twitter as basically, well, this has to create animosity in the locker room, right? Like, the defense is definitely pissed at the offense, right? And I'm here to tell you, maybe Kevin, you can tell me otherwise, from my vibe as a special teams player, sort of a third party in that locker room at times where we did struggle offensively in our career, the walk-on's career, that is, the laser focus on your job and your role is so dialed in inside that locker room that any guy that matters, any guy who's doing his job, thinking the way he needs to think, they aren't pissed at the offense. They don't have time to think about the offense. Am I right, Kev? For the most part, like, that's not your job.
I mean, yeah. I mean, first and foremost, you're focused on doing your job, nothing else.
With animosity, right? You might think to yourself, like, man, it sure would be nice if the offense scored a few more points, but it never gets to the level of, like, confrontational.
Yeah. So I can speak from my own personal experience. Yeah. You have those thoughts, like, God damn it, these guys need to get their shit together. Where you have to stop it is you cannot ever verbalize that. Mm-hmm. You cannot be talking shit about the other side or other player or other starters, like, because your culture starts with your language.
Mm-hmm.
And if your language is that of throwing other guys under the bus, throwing another unit under the bus, then your culture just starts going to shit. So, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I've had those thoughts, but you have to internalize that and just say, hey, okay, now we just got to be better. And you, if you do hear that talk, you have to shut it down.
I will say this. Drake might have come after a punter at one point.
Or move.
That was a different situation. Different situation. We
now, and it's not saying we don't have to hold our teammates accountable.
Yeah, that's different.
Now, if say you have like some guy that you know is like going out weeknights, not watching his film, mm-hmm. you know, shows up late to meetings and lifts and stuff like that, then yeah, guy needs to be called out. But if you have your teammates that are coming and busting their ass and just for some reason or another aren't executing, you know, calling them a piece of shit ain't gonna make them play any better. Unfortunately. Yep.
Let's wrap this one up. We will preview the Iowa State matchup on Thursday. And
what are we possibly gonna say?
Well, I'll try and make sure that we have some sort of agenda for the day so that it's not just, you know, I'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. I do want to say one thing, and this is probably something that as a podcaster and probably direct competition you would never do, but I'm going to do it anyway because I don't give a shit. And I think a rising tide lifts all ships. If you guys have not, as an Iowa sports, that's Iowa State, Iowa combined consumer out there, the listener talking to you, if you have not subscribed to the Iowa Everywhere network that just was released by Chris Williams of the Iowa State network, where he has several shows, him and Chris Hassel doing an Iowa State show. Jay Bo, another guy, will have a basketball related podcast on there. John Miller is a part of that network, as well as a few other really respected media personalities in the Iowa and Iowa State world. If you haven't subscribed to that and checked that out, you are going to want to. They are absolutely top to bottom incredible content to listen to. And a lot of those guys have been doing it as long as the three of us on this podcast have damn near been alive. And so the kind of content and quality that they put out is really, really good stuff. I even listen to it as homework for our show, or top, you know, the way that they talk about things or present things is something that I study as part of the game. Right. And, you know, I don't think I've ever promoted another podcast other than maybe McAfee's on this thing, but the Iowa Everywhere network is pretty legit. So go check that out. Final thoughts here is,
yeah, go check them out so that when Drake quits this podcast and the thing dissolves, that you have something else to listen to.
Right. When Drake quits and it's just Kevin and I, and then eventually Kevin gets, you know, run dry and I have to do it by myself and I suck ass and I get absorbed by the Iowa Everywhere network as like a behind the scenes social media guy who can't even be an on mic personality anymore. You know, you'll at least still have a small part of the walk-ons as we dissolve into nothingness. You know, the 348 episode run was great. And I appreciate everybody for listening. Final thoughts here is the Iowa-Iowa State matchup is this Saturday. Thank God it's in Kinnick Stadium. We haven't lost the game since 2014. Going into the game, I would say this year more than any since that 2014 year, and mostly because of the concern bred from Saturday, the past Saturday, I am more concerned than any of those previous matchups. I know Iowa State isn't what they were even touted to be last year or the way they finished the year before that. But if I was betting money on this game right now, I'm probably taking the Cyclones to win. And that's the logical person inside me speaking. They were at least, and granted, Southeast Missouri State is like a 3A Iowa football team, but they were at least able to find the end zone on Saturday.
Yeah. If you want to put it that way, South Dakota State probably beats Southeast Missouri State by 4 touchdowns too. They probably beat them as well as Iowa State did. South Dakota State is a top 5 SCS program. They'll have a good football school, but it doesn't.
I'm glad you bring that up
for how badly we played.
I'm glad you bring that up because another final thought here is South Dakota State, it's not out of the question that they're the national champions of FCS this year. But yeah, Iowa has a lot of improving to do. I don't know if they can do it in week 1 to 2. I think that Padilla should be the starter simply for mobility reasons. And that's a fringe percentage of maybe some little extra that we can get from Padilla to Petras. I don't think it makes a huge difference, as we stated. And I am expecting this game to come down to a field goal because of our defense.
Well, it is. But so the line at the beginning of the year before any games were played for this game was Iowa minus about a touchdown. You know, you get it at 6.5, 7.5, depending. Sure. It is now, as of Sunday evening, Iowa minus 3.
Well, there you go. We'll talk about that one on Thursday. So, I'm assuming neither of you really have too much else to say, and if you don't, we'll sign off here.
No, let's get out of here before Drake does something bad to himself.
Sounds good to me. Thank you guys for listening. As always, we hope you enjoyed the show. I'm going to go into a post-edit ramble. He's got his shades on. Jesus Christ. I'm going to go into a post-edit ramble here about some housekeeping as we get into this season. But thank you guys for joining us this year. We're excited for another year of Hawkeye football. Hopefully we can be a little bit more excited as time goes on. We'll talk to you in 349 for the Iowa State preview. Till then, peace.